Well, welcome to the many of you that have gathered, to the grandparents that have come in, to the friends, to the classmates. I think by your presence you are indicating that to you this is a very special occasion. Indeed it is. I was blessed in the various things that have taken place in the service so far, that have pointed related to why we are here, the devotional, the sharing time, the songs. What Rebecca said was along the line of what I was thinking about because of Casey's passing. What Rebecca said was that you don't know when the last time, what would be the last time when you're with your parents in church. And then, young people, you don't expect to go at 24, or in the case of our son at 11, but we don't know. So it's a reminder that pardon me, that we don't put off for tomorrow what should be done today, that we don't neglect the most important things. And there is, of course, a tension that will just be there. The Lord has put within us the desire to live. On the one hand, we do continue to work, to plan, as though we would live the 70 years, or the 80 years, or the 90 years. My mother joined the ranks of the other three, I think it is, in this congregation, that are 90 years old or more yesterday. So in one sense, we go on planning that way, but somehow with the often failing to live with the awareness that it could be cut short. But it is important that we bear that in mind. And the Lord does speak to us at times like this, when we hear of what is sometimes called an untimely death, and yet in the providence of God, it's timely. It's his timing. So we recognize that. Well, we're here to witness, to participate in this service, a baptism, a reminder to us, for many of us. Sanford said 25 years. For some of us, it's more like 45. But whether it's 2 years ago or whether it's 70 years ago, we're here to encourage us to walk with the Lord. We're here to remind ourselves of what does this mean? What does this say? You're saying something publicly here this morning. And one word that kept coming back to me is identification. We are identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and with his people. As I look at the subject this morning, kind of divided in three parts here. Baptism, commanded. Secondly, baptism defined. And thirdly, wasn't sure what word to use, but applied. How does this apply? How does it affect our daily living? Jesus said, when he was speaking to his disciples in what we call the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it's a command. He said, make disciples. He said, baptize. And then he said, teach them to obey. In this section, then, I'd like to consider the John's baptism, what that meant, and compare it to or contrast it to the believer's baptism that we're talking about. Touch briefly on Jesus' baptism, that in this first section, and then move on to defining. In Acts 1:5, we find the contrast. Here are the words of Jesus for John truly. It says when they were assembled together, here's what Jesus had told them. Just starting with 5, there's some in 4 there. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so in looking at the baptisms in the book of Acts, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that in the several instances that I will turn to. There's other things that are involved. There's conditions, but in each case it seems like that this is different. You see, John baptized with water, and we'll see what, in fact, maybe I'll just turn to Acts 19 and verse, let's see, is it 4, is it 5? Here it's saying what the difference was between John's baptism and this. Verse 4, "John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance." And again, repentance is a very important condition in that, well, it was the condition in that case. But in a believer's baptism, such as we're looking at this morning, that is also just an absolutely essential condition. But he says that, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after, that is, on Jesus Christ. So John's baptism was pointing forward to the Lord Jesus. And in this baptism, we remember what the Lord Jesus did. And it is saying, we have chosen to identify ourselves with him. We are following him. Now I'd like to turn to, and you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. We've already said from what we saw there in Acts that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And here it says in verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is going to be ushered in. It's at hand. All right? And then he says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John saw himself as called by the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. And then in verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." His baptism was a baptism of repentance. They confessed their sins. Going on to verse 11, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So I baptize with water unto repentance, but it's pointing forward to one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see then that took place in the instances that we'll look at in the book of Acts. The other passage I looked at, read then, is John 1 and verses 29 to 34. And here John says something in verse 29 that we want to note. Now, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed lambs. They brought a lamb to the priest, and they sacrificed. But here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, whatever happened there with the people that came to John to be baptized, it was not complete. Yes, they confessed their sins. Yes, they were baptized. It was a preparation. But he says, this is the one that takes away the sin of the world. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that had sent me to baptize with water, the same came unto me, said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John is saying, this is the one that takes away the sin of the world. This is the one on whom the Spirit comes and remains on him. He's the one that is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. We'll turn to it then after a bit. But we see that the Spirit came on him like it comes on us. It was symbolized by the dove coming down. Now, since I've been contrasting, let me just read several comments from Vine's study in New Testament words. The rite performed by John the Baptist, the definition is of baptism. The rite performed by John the Baptist, who called upon the people to repent that they might receive remission of sins. Those who obeyed came confessing their sins, thus acknowledging their unfitness to be in the Messiah's coming kingdom. And then, distinct from this is the baptism enjoined by Christ, or commanded by Christ in Matthew 28:19, a baptism to be undergone by believers, thus witnessing their identification with him in death, in burial, and resurrection. Now, John had said something else here in verse 31. He was baptizing, I said, to prepare the way. But it also says in verse 31, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, that he should be shown. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. Now, turning back to Matthew chapter 3 again, Jesus came to John and asked to be baptized of him. And John didn't think it should be that way. But Jesus said, allow it, because thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Or it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. 3:13, Matthew 3:13, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he allowed him to do it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if in contrast to John's baptism, the baptism with water unto repentance, if in contrast to that, he had said, there's one coming after me who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. At Jesus' own baptism, the Holy Spirit came to him. Now, as we think about why did Jesus say that it needs to be that he is baptized? Well, he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. But the thing that that occurred to me as I was studying is that, you know, it seems to me like Jesus' baptism, going down to the water and coming up out of the water, it reminds me of Romans 6, where it says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the Father by the glory, raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And it seemed to me that perhaps Jesus' baptism with water in this case was symbolic of the baptism that he speaks of in Luke 12:50. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how I am distressed until it is completed. Jesus referred to his sacrificial death for us as a baptism. And it kind of seems like this was symbolic of that, even as the baptism with water in our case is symbolic. Now, several instances in the book of Acts, and in first in chapter 2, and then in 10, and then in 19, and really there would have been one other one that I could have included that I saw later, but one of the things that that I noticed is that lest we think these things are all just a formula, some of the very same things happen in each case, but they didn't always happen in the same order. And God, by his Holy Spirit, leads in whatever way is suited for that occasion. Now, in Acts chapter 2, here there were the 120, well, actually in chapter 1, it tells us that there were 120 people assembled, and they had been told to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so now in chapter 2, we find the events that take place. Now, the three different passages that I'm going to look at here briefly, all three include water baptism. They include the Holy Spirit being given, but there's some variations in the order. Now here in chapter 2 then, they had been told to wait, and then the Holy Spirit came, and the evidence was, well, several evidences. There was cloven tongues like fire above their heads, and they began to speak in other languages. And the people that came were just amazed. They said, I mean, we, and then it lists, what, a dozen or so, didn't actually count them, languages. You know, we're from here and we're from there, and yet we hear the wonderful works of God, each in our own language. A miracle, a confirmation that God was doing a work. And so they were amazed in verse 12 and said, what does this mean? And some said, oh, they're drunk. And then Peter got up and said, no way. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And the prophet Joel had said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so this is the fulfillment of it. And then it says, I will pour out my in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he went on to preach this sermon, which he ended then in verse 36 with these words. And he didn't mince words. He said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. And conviction was brought on them and said, what shall we do? And then he told them what to do. That absolutely necessary ingredient for baptism. Repent. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction. Someone used to say it, Elmer Lapp used to say it this way, about repent and be baptized, change your mind about who Jesus is and be identified with him. Repent and be baptized. Now, the Jews as a nation had rejected Jesus. And so there was lots of people in Jerusalem at that time. I don't know how much they knew about what was going on, but many joined the crowd that were against Jesus. And the rulers had stirred them up. But anyway, Peter said, "You crucified him." And they said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then their response in verse 41, "Then they that gladly," that word gladly, "received his word were baptized. And same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So they gladly received his word and were baptized. They obeyed. And they were added unto the number. Really? They became, they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were added to the number. Their identification with Christ and the number. And you know, as we see later in the book of Acts, whenever you took that step, you were taking, in a sense, a death sentence. It wasn't certain, but it could well be, because persecution and dying for their faith happen. And there are places in the world today that are very closed. And there's radical Hindus, radicals in the Muslim religion. And sometimes in those countries, it seems like once they take baptism, that's stepping across the line. And then the persecution really begins. Sometimes it means their lives. Well, that's Acts 2. We kind of see the order here. Peter said, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we see a slightly different order in Acts 10. Here, the situation is a little bit different, because instead of talking to a large group of people, many of whom had been involved there just shortly before that, in the mob spirit that led to Jesus' crucifixion, here is a group of people assembled by Cornelius, his friends and near kinsmen, and they were there for the express purpose of hearing from the Lord. And so Peter begins to speak to them. And in verse 43, he says a slightly different thing than he did when he was speaking to the other people. To the other crowd, he said, repent. Here he doesn't mention repentance. Not because repentance isn't a necessary condition for all people, but it just seems to me something had already happened in those people's lives. They were hungry. They wanted the truth. And he came, preached to them Jesus. And so it simply says in verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should have remission of sins." In Acts 2 it said, repentance for remission of sins. Well, they're both necessary ingredients. And then the interesting thing was, while Peter was speaking to them, something was happening in their hearts, and these people received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been baptized. They received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, it said, repent and be baptized, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, in this case, something took place in their hearts, and I believe God gave them the gift of tongues, or the gift of speaking in other languages, for confirmation to Peter and the others that were with them. You know, they were still trying to reconcile this thing of the Gentiles becoming believers. And while Peter had said I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It said that in 34. But when the Holy Spirit came to those people while he was speaking, look at the response of those that were with him. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I believe it was the sign for them. I really believe that's what it was for, to convince them. And then there's the third one. And that is in Acts 19. And here are some who also already had believed. We find in verse 1, it talks about certain disciples. And here's what Paul said to them in verse 2. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And I'm not sure why he asked that question. Maybe he sensed. I'm not sure that these people, quite, if their faith is quite full, or maybe that's not saying it right. But then they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And so I think he's saying, you got a message, but it's an incomplete message. What John's baptism said, it was pointing forward to the Lord Jesus. And so it says, when they heard this, they had immediate response. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So again, the order wasn't the same as it was in 10. Here, it's when Paul laid his hands on them that they received the Holy Ghost. And as I was reading this and looking at it, I was reading it mentally. As Paul laid his hands on them and prayed that they might receive the Holy Ghost, he came. And it doesn't actually say that. It simply says when he laid his hands on them. So I began to wonder, maybe it was simply when he's laid his hands on them to baptize them at that point. I don't know. But as I've been pointing out, it doesn't always follow an exact order. But there needs to be repentance, there needs to be believing, and then there's the obedience of taking the step, publicly saying, I am taking my stand with the Lord. I'm identifying with him. And in each case, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't always quite in the same order in which it was given. Look briefly at next at baptism defined. Found some things that I hadn't noticed before. The Greek word baptizo is the word from which our word baptism comes. Now that one comes from a root, bapto, which is never translated baptism, but it is translated dip. Anyway, the definition of the root word bapto means to cover wholly with a fluid, like dipping a garment into a dye to dye it. And that's probably almost a foreign, I don't know if you younger ones even know what dyeing is all about, my D-Y-E, dye. My mom used to dye clothes. I don't know that we'd do that these days. But anyway, the idea being, here's the fluid, you dip the garment into it, and you dye it. You change it into a different color. That's the meaning of the word bapto. Now, the word baptizo comes from that. And according to Strong's, it means to make whelmed, that is, fully wet. And an example of that would be in Luke 11:38, where Jesus had been invited to the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And that's the word baptizo. That he had not washed, that he had put his hands in water and washed them. And it's also, interestingly enough, the word that they used in the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And so they used that word, baptizo, for what Naaman did when he went seven times dipped underwater. So, having said those things, kind of reminded me of a question that Laverne asked the baptismal class. He said, what's the proper mode for baptism? One of the boys had a ready answer. With water. Well, I think that's one with which we would all agree. But probably the agreement, even among Anabaptist groups, doesn't always end up being the same. Now, the Bible doesn't say. There aren't specifics in terms of this is how you conduct a baptismal service. It doesn't say you are to ask these questions. It doesn't say step by step, this is exactly how it's to be done. And I have no particular agenda by the things that I'm saying here. It's just that I saw, here's what the word said. What do we do with it? And hear me out. The one thing that I probably noticed more this time than ever before, and both Matthew 3, where Jesus was baptized, and where Philip baptized the eunuch, it says that that Jesus went out of the water. Well, he didn't go out of the water unless he went into it. And in Acts, concerning Philip, it says that he... how does it say it? He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So, it is true that it does not say that they were immersed. But I just have a question for me and for any of us. But if they were, is it okay? And the thing I'm getting at is the thing that some of you have heard me probably say repeatedly, and that is that that it is true that a practice can take on, this is the right way to do it, because I'm used to it. Now the question is, what gives me the sense of this is the right way to do it? Is it the way we've done it, or is it the Word? And hopefully those two line up. Now having said all of those things, some of you have heard me say that I was in conversation on two different occasions with people on this whole issue of baptism. And in the one case, he was pretty strong the one way. In the other case, he was equally strong the other way. And so, in both cases, I took the opposite side, not for a purpose of a lot of discussion or argument at all. It's just that I don't believe the mode is the most important thing. I think Amos and David L. have said that the bishop who was the Amish bishop in the district where I was a little boy would have said that if the mode was the important thing, then the Lord would have put it there. Now, the one thing that I said to the gentleman from India was that, because he really wanted to know where I was on this issue, it was, felt to me like it was strong enough to him that you just weren't baptized unless you were done unless it was done the way that he saw it. Well, I said it depends on whether it's symbolic of buried with him by baptism into death, or whether it's symbolic of baptism of the Holy Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now, I grant that both of them are involved. Let me leave that, because I don't have any particular agenda by that. talking about applied. How, you see, we're saying here, like the songwriter said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. This is my stake. I'm taking the public stand and saying, Jesus is my Lord, and I will live for him from now until death. So it's an identification with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, in Acts, it wasn't a simple, yes, raising my hand at a revival meeting. It was when you became follower of the way, it was a do or die. I mean, in some cases, it was that way. You were identifying with the one who had been rejected by the Jewish nation as a whole. And you were identifying then with a despised and a persecuted people. I'd like to turn then to Romans 6 and point out several verses there. Here we see death and resurrection. What he's saying here in chapter 6 of Romans is this. You see, the Lord Jesus came and he died. And then of course he rose again. Now, he said, well, let me just read 1 through 11 quickly here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into his death, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon or consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died, and now death has no more dominion over him. He rose. He rose victorious. And you, he says, in a similar way. See, he died unto sin once. It has no more dominion. He died, and so death has no more dominion over him. In your case, you die unto sin. You die. We die from running our own lives. We die then also from giving in to the allurements of sin. Or in the same way that death has no more power over him, that sin, be as unresponsive to sin as a dead body is. And it's not only dying with him. You see, when it says in 3, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And so by baptism now, you are identified with him in his death and in his resurrection. And so it is dead or unresponsive to sin, but it is walking in newness of life, experiencing a new life. His was a literal resurrection, or his was a literal death, and ours is dying to ourselves. His was a literal resurrection. Ours is experiencing a new life in him. And so baptism, I believe, is symbolic of this. And so I can't help but think about the two words, faith and grace. I'd like to touch on those yet briefly here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
We find that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We don't earn salvation by works. And so let's not depend on ourselves to walk in newness of life. It says in 1 Peter 1, 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Do we bask in the grace of God? I think one of my sisters said, I think that my dad never got over the wonder of his salvation. You see, this whole thing of being set free from trying to earn my way. The difference between religion and salvation, I realize religion can be used in several different ways. But what I'm talking about now is like someone defined religion as man doing to try to reach to God. And salvation is God reaching down to man. Grace is extended by God. And faith is exercised on our part to take hold of that grace. Now, grace has been defined in many different ways. Grace has sometimes been defined as unmerited favor. Unearned. You don't earn favor with God by the things you do. So, it's been called unmerited favor. See, anytime we do anything to earn or qualify ourselves, then it's no longer grace, then it's works. Sometimes we talk about saving grace and enabling grace. See, saving grace, he gives us grace. We accept by faith. We become believers. But then there's the walk. In Philippians 2:13, the desire and the power to do God's will is another definition of grace. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And someone has given the acronym for GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. And so God extends it to us. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and grace is giving us what we didn't deserve or earn. So it's faith, not works. It's grace, not earning. Salvation is a gift. What a blessing to have been born where we heard this from our parents, where we heard it from the time that we were little as we came to church. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Let's stand in that grace. Let's not be moved away from it. And remember that the grace of God also teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we've attempted to look at some things that baptism means. It means I take my stand publicly with Jesus. I identify with him. I identify with his people. And I will walk with him. And that's what life is. It's a walk. It's a walk of faith. A walk by the grace of God. He gives the desire, he gives the power, and it's ours to respond to that. May God bless you as you do that. Let's kneel. We thank you, Father, for the privilege, the blessing, the opportunity that we've had to have heard this wonderful message of salvation for most of us from the time we were little. Lord, we just have that real tendency to take it for granted. Just pray your blessing on each one in this class that has taken this stand. Pray your blessing on their lives. We want to stand by it and be an encouragement. And it is such a blessing to see them taking this step. So bless the rest of the service. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've appreciated the service this morning. I thought Brother Arlen led us off well in reminding us that it is okay, it is right for us to receive the words, obviously in a bit different way than Jesus did when God said of him that you are my beloved son, in you I'm well pleased. And that was a blessing. And this morning it is a special blessing to be a part of this baptism, where we will be baptizing these 9 young people who have made a commitment to walk with the Lord and have surrendered their lives to him. And Brother Mark led us in the expressions of our own experience at baptism. And I will simply admit that as I was trying to process what I experienced that particular day, it's a little foggier than it is the time that I repented of my sin and the Lord moved in and cleaned me up. And I remember how much brighter the sun shone the next morning, and how much nicer the birds even sang. It was just something different about it. And so I realize our experiences are different, but today my prayer is for each one of you that you have, now that you've embraced God, that you will take up from here, you will walk with him in newness of life. So at this time, we're going to give an opportunity for each of them to give a word of testimony. We'll have them all stand and face you, and then give each of them that opportunity. You can stand.
I'd like to start out by reading a verse that's been really influential in my life for the last couple months. It's Titus 2:6 and part of 7. Encourage younger men likewise to be self-controlled, showing yourself to be an example of good works in every way. Being self-controlled is something that's hard for me. It's something that I want to do. In another version it says, sober-minded. I also like that. I also want to thank the people who have been a good example to me in being that, and who have taken interest in my life and encouraged me. I'd also like to thank my parents who have taught me well. I'd also like to thank everyone else who has been a good example to me, taught me a lot, and I'm looking forward to being a part of this body, and I hope that everyone will feel free to input in my life and teach me as they see fit.
Thank you, Arlen.
I am thankful to God for bringing me to Kansas, and I enjoy getting to know the people here. The people really mean a lot to me. They gave me a lot. And I'm looking forward to being a part of this church. And my prayer for today is Psalms 25:4. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee I wait all day.
God bless you.
One of the things that has been special to me in my relationship with God is the love he has for me. And in Romans 9:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's just amazing to me to hear the words of the Lord telling me every day and throughout every day, I love you, Stephen. It's just been an incredible blessing. I am excited to be joining this body of believers and just invite your input in my life as I walk with the Lord. And I just ask your prayers to that I could learn to love the Lord more fully.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is who I am. I have failed often, but I am here to not give a confession of where I am, but of where I want to be. And if I keep If I keep looking up and walking forward, I believe that I will reach the Christian's ultimate goal, and that is an intimate relationship with Christ, and then eternal glory with Him after that. I'm excited about joining this body, and I pray, and I ask you to pray, that I can reach those two goals that I mentioned.
Thank you, Johnny.
When I think of the many verses that speak of the incarnation of Jesus, it always amazes me that God, who could have never given us a chance for salvation and still been perfectly just, sent His Son to die a horrible death on a cross, totally alone. The verses in John chapter 1 and Philippians 2 especially remind me of His great sacrifice for us. I want to be humble and walk with God, not have God walk with me. God wants obedience, and with His help I will follow Him. Some of the verses that have become special to me are Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. These two verses explain what my duty is. Often, if I'm not sure what to do, I try to think of these verses. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever I think of them, the wonderful promises of Jesus' return urge me to press towards the mark. It has been amazing to me how when I come to God with a problem I have been struggling with, He is always there waiting to help me and give me victory over whatever I have been struggling with. I realize that I am not perfect, and I ask that when you see mistakes I have made, point them out to me so that I can change. As far as I know, I am right with God and man, and look forward to being a member of this church, and ask that all of you would pray for me in my journey with the Lord.
This morning I'd like to share what God has been showing and teaching me throughout the past months. Over and over again, I've been struck with the thought that a lot of people in this world can get through life by themselves. And in the same way, I can go about my daily duties, and I can usually accomplish them using my own strength, but God really wants to help me, and it's really cool because all I have to do is ask Him to help me, and He will. He's not just standing there by my side waiting for me to drag myself into a rut and then help me out, but He's always there for me, and He actually wants to lift the load off of my back and carry it for me. It's but a simple choice on my part whether I will let Him carry my load for me or not. James 1, 2, and 3 say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." These verses have really meant a lot to me. Whenever I've been discouraged, I've been reminded again and again to face my trials with joy, because I know that God, with God's help, I can overcome anything. Verse 12 of the same chapter gives each of us a special promise for when we have overcome all of our trials. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." Looking back over the past few months, I can now see what God has done for me. Truly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank God and praise Him for all that He's done for me.
Thank you, Louise.
I am so thankful for God for sending His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, and that He forgave my sins. I want to thank everyone who prayed for me while I was in instruction class. It was a really stretching and learning experience for me, and I really enjoyed it. One verse that has meant a lot to me recently is Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is a real encouragement to me, and I can trust God with any situation I face. I would invite you to continue praying for me as I grow in my walk with Him.
Thank you, Carrie.
God is love, and lately I've been just impressed with that. And He has this incredible, amazing, indescribable love for me and for all of you. And so because of that, I want to be like the servant who pierced His ears to show the world that he was only going to serve his master for the rest of his life. And so I want to be marked for Jesus, and I want the world to know that I'm going to serve Jesus for the rest of my life and him alone. And then through that, maybe they can see Jesus and some of his love for them. And so one of the biggest steps in becoming like Jesus and becoming his servant is baptism and joining his body, the church. And so that is why I'm here today. And I hope that all of you guys will be feel very free to come and tell me if you see something in my life that needs to be changed, because that will help me to become more like Jesus and to live for him. So thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Well, first I want to thank God for forgiving my sins. And the last few months, he's been showing me a lot through his word. And one thing that he showed me was I was having a really bad day because my shoulder was hurting, and it was about 6 or 7 weeks after it had happened. And so he showed me the verse, "Behold, I make all things new." And I was like, wow, he's really going to make my shoulder new. I don't know when, but he will. And I've only felt it about 2 or 3 times after that. So that's amazing.
Thank you, Carol. You may be seated at this time. Well, it is a special blessing to hear. I told these young people that their testimony should represent themselves, not each other. And I said they should not worry about how they differ. And thank you for just being yourselves as you spoke your hearts. And we look forward to these to having you as members here with us. And we just trust that God will bless you and bless this body for your presence among us. We'll proceed with the baptisms now. Arlen, you may stand. Arlen, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind and died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, and that he's the abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and faithfully abide in the same until death?
Yes, I promise.
Amen. Arlen, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Stand. Walter, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind and that he died upon the cross, gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is the abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word, and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
Yes, I do.
You may kneel. Walter, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ as his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Stephen, you may stand. Stephen, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to commit yourself to Christ and his word, and to faithfully abide in the same as long as you live until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Stephen, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Christ's church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Johnny, you may stand. Johnny, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the Savior, the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word, and faithfully to abide in the same until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Johnny, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Sean, you may stand. Sean, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he's the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word, and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Sean, on the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Louise, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he's the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross, and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Pardon me. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word, and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
I do.
Susanna, would you please come forward? Louise, on the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Carrie, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide faithfully in the same until death.
I do.
Carry upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Christy, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he's the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him you might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness in your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide faithfully in the same until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Christy, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Carol, do you believe in one true and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide faithfully in the same until death?
I do.
You may know. Carol, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. To all of you as a class, why do we call you a class? Because you were a class, I guess. But to all of you who have just received baptism, even as Christ was raised from the dead, even so you shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you shall be and a disciple of his, and a disciple of his indeed. You shall be acknowledged as a brother or sister in this body. May the Lord grant you grace like you've asked for, and may he give you strength day by day, for the good times and the bad, or the good times and the hard, and may you abide in him and walk with him daily. I consider it a special privilege to have had this many in the class. Every size class is good. This was special to have this many. And so each class has its unique characteristics, and so it's a blessing. And one of the things that a large class does, it lets us go over time without anybody whimpering. And so we've just started now. I'd like to ask the fathers to each make an expression, if they would. And we've got lunch waiting for us in the basement when we get done, so there's not a hurry to rush home. So we're going to start from this side, have Woodard go first, and I think we'll pass the mic around so you've got it.
Well, I'm glad that God doesn't depend on the father of the applicant to make sure that everything goes okay. I shudder to think what the outcome would have been if and to me and to Arlen. God bless.
I think I feel a lot like Willard just expressed himself. I know that the grace of God is at work in Sean's life because he is here today in spite of my failings. I thought many times this morning of 2 Timothy verse 2, verse 15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I think that word study doesn't necessarily mean just book learning, but to apply our minds, our energy, our efforts to be approved to God. And Sean, I think as you pursue that, God will give you grace to be able to do that in a way that is pleasing to him.
To Johnny, I would say that you're not alone when you say that you are not what you hope to become or what you know you will become. And I wish for you continued growth as we have seen in the past. I'm very happy that you have chosen to receive baptism and become a member here, not just a member for the record, but I want you to be engaged, and there's a lot of good happening here, and there's a lot of opportunity for growth and for stimulating discussion and so on. And so I look forward to you being a productive member here.
Well, we're thankful to be here today, and what we witnessed is something that, it's like David said, is one of the better parts of him being a bishop. And I just echo with the other men, I hope for a lot better for Walter than what I have been or am doing. And the way he's progressing, he'll be a lot better man than I've ever been. I just had to think the situation where the family lost their son in Puerto Rico. And usually at a time like that, you hear that verse quoted, "For we know that all things work together for those that love him and who are called according to his purpose." How much easier it is for us. We can also apply that verse today, that we know that all these things work together for the good for those who are called. And I think we're all glad that when the youth were called, received their calling, that they answered that call. And it started with their today. We also appreciate a church-like center that when the youth accept Christ as their Savior and they want to become a church member, that those two are in no conflict with each other.
Well, I agree with what Arlen said in the opening, that I think we can apply what the Lord, what the Father said to Lord Jesus, and that is that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and we are well pleased in the decision that you've made, Stephen. We do want to continue to have input into your life, but we also realize that you have a relationship with him and cultivate that.
Well, I'm feel blessed to be here today, and I count it a privilege to be a part of this service. And my wife and I are very thankful that Carrie has chosen Christ as her personal Savior. And we're also blessed that she has chosen to take this step in becoming or to be baptized and to show as an outward sign of what God has done in her heart, and how she also has chosen to become a member of this group. And I would just like to wish a special blessing on Carrie as you follow Christ and as you walk in his ways each day. And I also pray that I could continue to be a Christ-like example for my family, that they can see Christ reflected in my life. And I just want to also say a special thanks to the ministers for the time that you have invested in instructing the class and teaching them in the ways of God.
Yes, well, Christy, this is a very special time for you and for Mom and I and our family. I'm going to stay seated so I can be closer to you. So it's really a special time, and I just asked Lois if she had some thoughts she wanted to jot down. I wish she could speak as well. And she says, "We are blessed to see repentance in Christy's life. Our cup of joy is full today to see our children walk in truth." And it's really a blessing yesterday to be able to have the day together with the entire family at home. And I came across a photo of Christy and Heidi when they were small little girls. And I'm just blessed to see how Christy has blossomed into an angelic little baby, into a beautiful young lady with inner beauty. And so just, Lord bless you, Christy, as you continue to walk with the Lord and mature as a Christian. And as we were driving out the driveway this morning, and this is minor compared to this today, but yet it's part of the entire experience, I just realized how much I will miss driving Christy to instruction class. And so Sunday mornings, the tradition was that she and I would, you know, go an hour and a half earlier to instruction class, and I'll never forget her gentle but firm voice, "Dad, if we don't leave right now, we'll be late." And so that's special to me. And just the time of being together driving to instruction class. So thanks, Krista, for holding my coffee while I buckle in. And hopefully we can continue to do things together. And I also want to express my appreciation to the ministry for the instruction classes were really good. I mean, it was just a good time of gentle instruction, openness, discussion. You can, you know, say whatever's on your mind, ask questions. That was really, I think, a blessing, and for me as well as the class. And to the class, I just was thinking this morning, Christy and I talked about it on the way, how important this decision is, and we discussed, you know, looking ahead to each of you the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the decisions you make, how they will impact your families, your lives. And so just be careful. Ask for counsel. Ask for advice. Stay close to the Lord and rely on wisdom of others, other believers, to guide you in those decisions.
Today's special, with Karen Louise taking this step, there's a verse in Psalms that goes like this: "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." The word glad doesn't do justice today. It's been an ongoing experience, them choosing to serve the Lord, choosing to take this step. Grandparents wanted to be here but couldn't. Especially Grandma Nisley. She couldn't be here, but I'm sure she's watching and praising the Lord for Karen Louise's step.
Life brings with it a lot of twists and turns for us, and it's true that Louise and Carol's grandparents are all three, the three who can't be here, all three here are not here because of death. But death is a real part of living. And as we embrace that, it also teaches us something about life. And I just trust that the Lord can bless, can honor, can strengthen each of you. One last word. I read to you the question, do you submit yourself to Christ in His word and to abide faithful in the same? I'd like to, as much as important as it is to say, I will, and you commit yourself to something, it is equally or more important to submit, to surrender yourself. There's really not a lot of difference between the two, but there can be. And surrender is certainly the place that our hearts have to be and will be if we've truly repented. May God bless each one of you in abundance. I think without anything further, we'll go ahead and have a closing song. And then following the song, we're going to clear the area back there by the coat rack. And the class will be meeting, will be standing back there. So whoever would like to slip over to wish them well, welcome to the church, is free to do that. The others of you can file on down to for the meal. But once we sense that people are sort of finished seeing them, we're going to open the way and we're going to ask you to defer to the class and we'll get them served next. So again, it'll just be at the back of the back of the ante room where you can see them, and do feel free to stop by and say and wish them your blessing. Let's have then a closing song.
Number 67.